Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Weed It Out. Here's today's host, storyteller and ceramic craftsman from New Jersey, Peter Aguero.
We're ready for our second storyteller. Please keep that going for Katie Leisner. Come on, Soundbites. Love and positivity. Come on, bring it on, bring it on.
Hello. So, as a teenager, I was a pathetically good kid. Like, I cared a lot about getting A's, and I internalized all of my parents' warnings about illegal activity. So this kind of left me woefully oblivious when it came to mainstream teenage culture. So, for example, in high school, it was only through my powers of observation that I picked up on the fact that a lot of the cool, bad kids in my class tended to have the same hand-drawn, like, leaf on their notebooks. It wasn't a three-leaf clover, so, like, definitely not an Irish thing. I thought, like, maybe a maple leaf, but Canadian pride, that's not a thing. It looked like I had like three-ish fronds, so then I felt like, oh, maybe it's poison ivy. And then for a second, I was like, oh no, it's a gang symbol. Like the poison ivies must be in my school or something. But then one day, I overheard one of the kids referring to the leaf as marijuana. This blew my mind. You have to know that I had only just very recently pieced together that marijuana was the same thing as pot. Now come to find out, marijuana slash pot is really just a plant. So I come home from school that day, my mind's like blown. I walk in and it's just my little sister Mindy who's home. And my mom had just recently decided that we're finally old enough at 16 and 14 that she could like start a new job outside the house, that we were fine on our own. So like, hey Mindy, what's up? Went into my bedroom and just kind of like pondering the day's new knowledge that marijuana was a plant, just like tobacco was a plant. And I happened to glance up through my bedroom window, and we had all these big cottonwoods and elm trees out in our backyard, and there's all these leaves kind of like fluttering in the sunlight, and it just like hit me. I was like, whoa, wait, this is all smokable. Like, whoa. And I was sober, obviously. I was like, whoa. Like, maybe mankind had just stopped too short after tobacco and marijuana. Who knew what trippy botanicals were still out there waiting to be discovered? So, like, all these winking leaves outside my window, they kind of awakened something in me, an appetite for rebellion. Like, I, too, wanted to taste a dark side that was still technically legal. So I knew from biology class that it's not as if I could smoke those green leaves outside my window because there'd be too much water in them. What I needed were dry leaves. But I hope this is instructive for all of you. But it's not like we just had like a bunch of dry leaves sitting around the house. And then I remembered all of the dry leaves that we had sitting around the house. Literally on every end table, little pots of potpourri. Or, as I was already coming to think of it, pot. So I emerged out of my bedroom and like moseyed into the living room where Mindy was watching TV, and I kind of did like a slow walk by of the couch end table and circled back around and sort of plopped down at the end of the couch. I was kind of just like gauging the scented roughage back on the table next to me. I lifted the heart-shaped earthenware pot and set it on my lap and kind of like pinched the potpourri in my fingers, like, tested it with my nose. And Mindy looked over at me. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Watching Full House." I'm like, "And why are you doing that?" She's like, "'Cause." I'm like, "Okay, then." So then I got up and walked into the kitchen, and based on my reconnaissance in the living room, it was like totally clear to me that like potpourri was gonna be a bust, because that apple cinnamon was harsh. And my mom would definitely notice a decline in potpourri levels. So I was kind of just like a little bummed out in the kitchen, thinking like, man, I'm not gonna get to smoke anything today. I guess I should just get my homework started. Then I remembered the other trove of dead leaves in the house. I climbed up on the kitchen counter and I opened up the spice cabinet. And right away I see basil and oregano, but I'm like, I don't feel like I can really experiment with something I've eaten on spaghetti. So I push it aside and I delve deeper towards the back of the spice cabinet. And you know, it's like, it's all dusty back there. I'm pulling stuff out like, what is this? Like, celery salt and like, you know, like dill seed, like what? It's like a medieval apothecary back there. And towards the very back, I find it. It's the perfect one. It's green, it's lush. It's called marjoram. It sounded major. So in preparation for smoking the marjoram, I filled a shallow dish with water because I was not so rebellious as to flout fire safety. And so then I had to find a way to get this paraphernalia into my bedroom while walking past the living room where Mindy was sitting. And Mindy was not to be trusted. Mindy was kind of like lame. So I kind of like stuck the marjoram in the waistband of my pants, and then I just palmed the dish of water, like real casual like. I was like walking past the living room, and of course Mindy looked up and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm thirsty, okay? God." I take it back to my bedroom. Now I have everything I need, like shut the door, right? I put the dish of water down on the floor, pop the marjoram out of my pants. Like, kneel down on the bedroom carpeting. I tear a sheet out of my history notebook and open up the marjoram. Oh, it's earthy, potent. And I sprinkle it out on the notebook paper, kind of like pinch it into a line. And then I go to roll the notebook paper. And as any good designer of notebook paper will tell you, it only has one function, and that's just to stay flat. So it doesn't really roll per se, but it folds really nicely. So at the end, my joint was like this little envelope of spice. Now I had to light the thing, but you guys know what I am. I'm a good kid, so it's not like I have a lighter. But then I remember the fireplace downstairs. So I run downstairs, I find the utility lighter for the family fireplace. It's like that kind with the thumb trigger and the super extra long snout so that you can light the fireplace from perfect safety. So I grab that, bring it upstairs. Now I have everything I need. So I stick the packet of spice in the corner of my mouth and I light the utility lighter and I kind of try to align the two ends. And then the flame catches the tip. races the notebook paper towards my face. I get two good hits. All smoke. I throw the flaming joint in the dish of water. Man, I could have burnt the house down. My heart's racing, my hands are shaking. I'm like, man, that marjoram's some hard shit.
Katie Leisner is a writer and storyteller who's performed in over 90 shows across 9 states. She's a Moth Grand Slam champion, a Mass Mouth Big Mouth Off champion, and has featured at the National Storytelling Festival. Her written work has appeared in the New York Times, the Boston Globe, Condé Nast Traveler, and various other publications. One more hand for Katie Leisner. Thanks, everybody.
We went backstage before the show to catch up with today's storyteller. They shared some personal tidbits that aren't included in their story.
What is your connection to Maine?
Yeah, well, I actually grew up in the Midwest, so the very first time I came to Maine was on a family vacation back in the 90s, probably.
What got you into storytelling?
I used to teach writing to college freshmen, so I found that in order to keep the students awake, like an 8 a.m. class, I had to kind of riff and tell stories based on my life, and so then that kind of became my pathway into storytelling.
What is your process for preparing to tell a story?
I'm usually in my bedroom, sort of talking the story out loud the same way I would to friends, like at a bar, and I'm usually pacing back and forth, maybe talking in the mirror, that sort of thing, so that feels casual and real to me.
Tell us about one part of your story that you are not including in your telling tonight.
I don't know if this is necessarily part of the story, but in the same vein, when I imagined what it might be like to taste alcohol as a dry run, I took a big swig of pickle juice out of the fridge, and then I decided maybe I didn't want to drink based on that experience.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.